انتر سلام
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
بعد دیگر صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهركم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم. وقال أيضا: أن اشكر لي ولوالديك. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أخبرني جبرائيل عن الله وعزتي وجلالي وارتفاع مكاني لو أن العاق لوالديه يعمل بعمل الأنبياء جميعا لم أقبلها منه. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
The Holy Prophet is saying in this hadith narrated in Masahih al-Qulub that Jibreel informed me from Allah that if the Aq, that means a person who is disowned from his parents, performs وَإِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَارْتِفَاعِ مَكَانِي, I swear to my izzat, Allah says, I swear to my dignity and my majesty and my elevated position. If an arch person, the one who is disowned from his parents, يَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ جَمِيعًا, performs the actions of all the prophets of God, that means one person brings all the good deeds of all the prophets combined. Lam aqbalha minhu, I am not going to accept that. So it is clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this principle which He has set Himself, that none of our good deeds are accepted after we become aq and disowned from our parents. And Our religion, Islam, teaches us that we have our biological parents, the parents through whom we are born into this world, and we have our spiritual fathers, which we call the Ruhani parents. And that's what is mentioned in the hadith of our beloved Prophet.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Where he has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam and himself that ana wa Ali abawa hadhihi al-ummah. Me and Ali are the two fathers of this ummah. And according to my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafizahullah, that this is Ubuwwatul Haqiqiyyah. This is not a metaphorical, majazi statement that Prophet is saying. That's the real fatherhood that he's talking about. But they are our real fathers in the spiritual sense. So when we have so much importance mentioned about the biological father, parents, then we can understand the level of importance in the eyes of Allah towards our spiritual fathers, who are above everyone else. May our fathers and fathers of everyone else be sacrificed on the Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam. May the entire universe be sacrificed for their sake. Even if the whole universe gets sacrificed, it's still nothing when it comes to their azmat and greatness. So in the time of the Prophet, when the final moments for Al-Qama arrived, and Prophet has sent Salman and Ammar ibn al-Yasir to go and do the talqeen of kalima. When a person reaches in five final moments of life, sakaratul maut, when the soul is about to be taken out, we call that person as muhtadir in our sharia. And we have ahkamul muhtadir mentioned in the sharia, what we are supposed to do towards that kind of person. Those who are around have an obligation towards that person. We are supposed to turn his feet towards the Qibla. Isn't it right? It is always mustahab in Islam to sleep when you're sleeping while having your feet towards the Qibla. Throughout 24/7, 365, whenever you sleep. So a person who is about to die and is called muhtadir, it is mustahab for those people who are standing around him to turn his feet towards the Qibla and to recite Surah Yasin next to him, to recite Surah Safat next to him. And then right, to do the talqeen of the names of the 12 Imams. This then to do the talqeen to remind him of this vital information about the kalima, and keep on reminding those things. The kalima. So, Prophet has sent Salman and Ammar to do the talqeen. And Salman and Ammar went there and they tried hard to ask him to just repeat the kalima after them, but the guy cannot reply. He simply cannot speak. He has his tongue as if the tongue is tied up. We call it i'tiqad al-lisan in our terminologies of ilm al-akhlaq. Somebody becomes mu'taqal al-lisan. His tongue gets tied up because of the sins that a person has done towards the parents. They came back, Ammar came back and informed the Prophet that we tried, but he's not repeating the kalima. And Prophet has the absolute knowledge and absolute wisdom of life. And he inquired about the parents, and he was told that he had his mother alive. The father, that means, has passed away. It's only the mother who is alive. Prophet sent Bilal and to the mother and said, say my salam to her and ask her that if she can come to me, otherwise I will come myself. As I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words. So she said, may my life be sacrificed, my soul and body be sacrificed on the Prophet. I will come myself. This old lady, holding a stick in her hand, she walks slowly, she comes to the Prophet. And when she comes to the Prophet, Prophet asks her, what is the relationship between her and her son? And he said, she doesn't listen to me. He listens to his wife. So it's basically a long time that we are not in the talking terms. And Prophet said, turned towards his ashab and companions and said that this behavior of Alqama has caused him to have his tongue tied up. So Prophet said to some of the ashab to bring the firewood and the fire so that I can burn him down. His mother said, no, Ya Rasulullah, not to that extent. I'm upset with him, but after all, he's my son. I don't want him to die in front of my eyes. Prophet said that if you don't forgive her, Allah is not going to accept his prayers and fastings, and he's going to be burned in the grave. That means, in other words, the same is going to happen after a few minutes if you don't forgive him. You're stopping me from burning him. Exactly the same thing is about to start in a few minutes if you don't forgive him. And she said to Rasulullah that I make you a witness, and all the ashab, all these people who are present here, a witness that I forgave my son. And then the narration says that when Bilal went back to find out, when one of the ashab goes back to find out, he hears the voice of Alqama reciting the kalima from outside the house. Before he even entered into the house, he heard the voice of Alqama reciting the kalima. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So the narration tells us that Prophet stood close to the qabr of Alqama after his burial, and that's where he said his historic statement, Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. The paradise is under the feet of the mothers. That's where the Prophet has said that glorious statement, although all of his statements are equally glorious. So paradise is under the feet of the mothers. The more we serve our mothers, and obviously our fathers as well, but mothers have more rights in Islam than the fathers, the more we earn our paradise. And we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are certain du'as which are never rejected by Allah. Because Prophet has said in his hadith, ثَلَاثُ دَعَوَاتٍ مُسْتَجَابَاتٍ لَا شَكَّ فِيهِنَّ. Three du'as are accepted, there is no doubt about that. دَعْوَةُ الْمَظْلُومِ, du'a of a mazloom person. And it makes so much sense why the du'a of mazloom. Imam Ali Islam says in another hadith, لِأَنَّهُ يَطْلُبُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّهُ. The reasoning that Imam Ali furnishes in his hadith about that is that because the mazloom person, all he is asking from Allah is his own right. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to deprive a mazloom person from his own right. So another hadith says that إِيَّاكُمْ وَدَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهَا تُحْمَدُ عَلَى الْتَمَامِ. Keep away from the dua of a mazloom person. If a mazloom person prays against you, be warned about that. فَإِنَّهَا تُحْمَدُ عَلَى الْغَمَامِ as a mazloom rewired, because it's carried over the clouds. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينٍ I'm certainly going to help you, although it may be after a while. Obviously, there's wisdom of Allah which is supreme, and it has to take place according to the wisdoms of Allah. Isn't it right? Prophet Musa prayed against Fir'aun. And the hadith of Imam Salih alayhi salam says,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Muhammad.
Kana bayna du'a'i Musa wa gharqi Fir'aun 40 aaman. Between the, what in Urdu we say, baddu'a, the curse. So between the, in Arabic we use the same word du'a for that. Between the du'a of Musa and drowning of Fir'aun, there was 40 years. Imam Sadiq al-Islam informs us there was a 40 years of gap between Prophet Musa praying against Fir'aun and Fir'aun getting drowned. So the dua of the mazloom is always accepted, but when is up to the wisdom of Allah, it has to be like this. Because our wisdom is not absolute. So we find that this is one of the reasons why we never find our orafa doing these kinds of silly du'as like some of the jahil people do when they start cursing their opponents. They say, you know, may Allah kill this person. You know, our du'as are a madhar of our ilm, the amount of mablabul ilm, the level of knowledge that we have in our qalb. Even our du'as show how much level of knowledge we enjoy. So, our urafa, if you listen to their du'as, they never say, you know, kill the enemies of Islam. I was listening to one of the du'as of Ayatollah Khamenei, hafizahullah Allah, when he was praying against some of the enemies of Islam, and he said in Farsi, Khudaya sharrishun ra bi khudushun bargadan. Oh my Lord, return their shar and evil back towards them. What a logical dua. In the light of the dua of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, this is exactly what we learn in the light of their teachings. Isn't it right? Imam Ali al-Salam, when he found this commander of Muawiyah, la'natullahi alayh, who came into Yemen and entered into the house of the governor of Imam Ali al-Salam in Yemen, and grabbed the baby, the newborn baby of the governor of Imam Ali al-Islam. This commander of Muawiyah grabbed the newborn baby after killing the commander of Imam Ali, grabbed his baby and stretched his legs like this and killed the baby in front of the eyes, and in front of the eyes of the mother. And the mother became insane. Obviously, it's natural if the mother sees these kinds of scenes, what's going to happen to her mother? That's natural. And Imam Ali alayhi salam went on the occasion of Hajj. He found the mother of his governor standing there like a crazy woman. She lost her mind. And she was, you know, just like people who go through these kind of situations. She was saying, oh my baby, just crying like that. When Imam Ali alayhi salam saw that situation, he cursed the commander of Muawiyah. Unlike our curses of jahil, Imam Ali's curses are also based on ilm. So you look at the curse and la'nat, that how Imam Ali does the baddu'a and curse, which is full of knowledge. Imam Ali al-Islam cursed that commander of Muawiyah by saying, Allahumma atil umrahu wa azil aqlahu. Oh my Lord, give him long life and remove his aql. That was the curse of Imam Ali al-Islam towards him. Isn't it right? Imam Hussain al-Islam became shaheed, but Yazid remained into power in the next 2 years. Do you find in any hadith of Imam Hussain al-Islam where he had sent la'nat on Yazid by saying, oh my Lord, kill Yazid?
Not in your, even in any Sunni narration. You cannot find even a da'if or weak narration. Nothing is narrated like that. Did you ever find anything where Imam Hussain had said for Yazid, "Oh my Lord, kill Yazid"? If Imam Hussain had said that, Allah would have killed him straight away. Because Imam Hussain, Islam is the mother of all the names and all the sifat and attributes of Allah.
Zindabad,
Zainiyat,
Zindabad,
Yazidiyat,
Murdabad,
Nare Haydari,
Ya Ali.
And he is Mustajab al-Da'wah, and he is afdal than all the Anbiya of Allah, other than Rasulullah. He is afdal than Hazrat Musa alayhi salam as well. Allah would have accepted his dua straight away, but Imam Hussain did not do that, didn't say that.
The wisdom of Allah, isn't it right?
By keeping Yazid into power for next 2 years, Allah wants to send him further, further down into the hell. Isn't that right? Allah knows his wisdoms. We don't know his wisdoms. So basically, we find that the dua of a mazlum is always mustajab. Allah says in the hadith, لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. I am certainly going to help you, although after a while. So we find that the second per category of people whose dua are always accepted, da'watul musafir, dua of a traveler. If you are traveling, our scholars say a traveler is far away from his family, his relatives. He is gharib, isn't it? He is lonely, in loneliness, in ghurbat. It makes sense that his dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And third of all, da'watul walid ala waladihi, but dua of a father against his son is always accepted. So we need to keep away from the baddu'a and curse of the father.
Hello?
So we find, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The ayat of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning, Alishkur li wa li walidayka, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to be grateful, to do shukr, to be grateful towards me, Anishkur li wa li walidayka, and towards your parents. We need to be grateful towards the parents. Allah has His principles. You know, unless and until we are shakir, we do tashakkur and gratefulness towards the makhluk, Allah, who is the khaliq, does not accept our shukr. The Prophet has already said in his hadith, Man lam yashkur al makhluqa, lam yashkur al khaliqa. Isn't it right? Whoever did not thank the makhluk, did not thank the khaliq. This is the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Prophet is informing us. So we need to thank our parents. Certain things our Mufassireen say, but there are certain things in the Holy Quran which are mentioned next to each other. And there is a wisdom. There is a wisdom why Allah is mentioning two things next to each other in the Quran. When Allah is mentioning shukr towards Him, next to shukr towards the walidain and parents, there is a wisdom why He is mentioning two rulings next to each other. So the scholars say in the tafsir that one fariza is not accepted without the other. That's the reason why Allah is mentioning it next to each other. So unless and until we are thankful towards our parents, no matter how much you grab a tasbih, a sibha in your hand, you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, it's not going to be accepted. No matter how much you do shukr towards Allah, first things first. You have to first be grateful towards your parents as well. These are the principles of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Holy Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasula wa ulil amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and obey the ulil amr, meaning the 12 imams on you. So our scholars again, they say in the tafsir, unless and until a person believes and obeys the 12 imams, his obedience and ita'at towards Rasulullah is not acceptable in the eyes of Allah. And unless and until a person is obedient towards Rasulullah, his ita'at and obedience towards Allah is unacceptable in the eyes of Allah, because Allah is mentioning these three things next to each other in the verse. Please say salawat.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So Ali ibn Hamza al-Nitahi was that wakil, was a wakil of Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam.
Allah salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Today we have the Bukhara and agents of the Maraji who collect the qums on their behalf. Obviously, it's the obligation of the people to check the ijaza from the ulama, whether or not they really have the ijaza. You have a right to check. You have a right to ask and certify and check whether they have the ijaza or not before you give the qums. So today we have the Bukhara and agents of the Maraji, appointed by the Naib of the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. In old days, when Imams were there openly available in front of the communities, they used to appoint their wakil as well. So Ali ibn Hamza al-Nitahi was the wakil of Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam. And when Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam passed away, he didn't want to give up the money that he has, thousands and thousands of dirhams or dinars. Love of money. So the best way to keep the money with him was to just deny the imamat of Imam al-Salam. Because when your wakil, the mujtahid or the imam who allows you, that mujtahid passes away or that imam passes away, the wakalat automatically becomes batil. Now you have to give the entire qums money from your center, your organization, back to the new mujtahid who is jami' al-shara'it, conditions fulfilling mujtahid, all those conditions which are mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam, the conditions fulfilling mujtahid of today. You need to give your entire qums that you have collected under the ijazah of the previous mujtahid who died. Now you have to give the whole qums back to the new mujtahid. But some people don't want to give up the money because money is power. Isn't it right? So now, the best way, history repeats itself. We find similar stories happening today. So these are just lessons. This is not a fantasy tale. We are mentioning qasas of Quran and hadith are none of things of fantasy land. These are stories which are protected for us to take ibrat and lesson out of it. So Ali ibn Hamza al-Nitahi didn't want to give up the thousands. So he denied the imamat of Imam Rida. And Imam Rida said to, when he died, on the day that Ali ibn Hamza al-Nitahi died, we don't stand in need. See, Ahlul Bayt don't stand in need of us. They don't stand in need of nobody. Everyone stands in need of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt for their success. So Imam Rida said, today Ali ibn Hamza died and now he's laid into the grave. And the angels have asked him, who is your Lord and who is your Prophet and so on and so forth, all those questions about the Imams. And finally, when they asked about the Imam after Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam, and he could not reply. The angels repeated the question a few times and they still did not get the reply. And they hit him with a makmak of the hellfire. And his grave is full of fire and shall remain like that till the day of judgment. So it is very important, brothers and sisters, that we keep in our mind that our responsibility towards the imam of our own time, not just our responsibility towards the imams who were before the imam of our time, just like we have responsibilities towards the Yazids of our time, not just we do the bara'at from the Yazids of yesterday, but we have a responsibility to do bara'at from the Yazids of today as well, which is what some people don't find comfortable doing that, because they are ready to curse the Yazid of yesterday only. When it comes to the Tahuts of today, let's put a ban on all those ulama who talk about the Tahuts of today. That this is Islam of convenience. This is not the Islam of Ahlul Bayt, Islam of convenience. So we find Allah has His own principles. Unless and until the obedience and the ta'at of the 12 Imams is found next to the obedience of Rasulullah, it's not accepted. unless and until the muda'at and obedience towards Rasulullah is found next to the obedience of Allah, it's not accepted.
Similarly, is what Quran has said, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Isn't it right? Install the prayers and give the zakat.
Again, these two wajib things in fariza are mentioned next to each other. And the scholars say in the tafsir that the prayers of a person are kept under the arsh and throne of Allah for one full year. For 1 year. Until his khums is taken out. He gives away the khums. And now the zakat and the khums and all whatever the wajib taxes of Islam are taken and they reach. The person gives away his khums and now his khums reaches the prayers and then the taxes, financial taxes and the prayers together are taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these two duties are mentioned, zakat and prayers are mentioned next to each other in the words of Quran.
Wajib al salawat.
We are not here to reinvent the wheel, isn't it right? There are principles already mentioned in the Quran. Let's go by the principles. Let's go by the usul and qawaid of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So, we need to make sure that we are giving the khums, the haqq of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then we can expect that it will be combined with our prayers and presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these two things, the salat and zakat, are mentioned next to each other. So we find that Islam has such a comprehensive system of akhlaq and morality which has been mentioned. Imam Sajjad al-Islam has this Risalatul Huquq, this treatise where he's mentioning all the rights of all the various types of people around us in the human society, how we are supposed to behave towards each other. What are the duties towards the teacher? What are the fara'is towards the neighbor? Then the Prophet say, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُكْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Whoever believes in Allah and in the final day must respect his neighbor. So neighbors, there's a lot of duties in Islam. Prophet says that لَا يَزَالُ جِبْرَئِيلُ يُسِينِي بِالْجَارِ. Jibreel was continuously giving me advice about the neighbor. Until I thought that the neighbor will become an inheritor. That means neighbor will inherit from the next door neighbor. So neighbors are so many. Our scholars say we have three classifications of neighbors. One neighbor who has three duties on your neck, one neighbor who has two duties on your neck, and one neighbor who has one duty on your neck. The one with the three is the one who is your relative, plus a mu'min, and plus your neighbor. The one who has two duties on your neck is the one who is not your relative, but he's a mu'min, plus he's a neighbor. And the one who has one duty and haq on your neck, one right on your neck, is the one who's not your relative and not a mu'min, but still he's a neighbor. So these are responsibilities that need to be fulfilled. In the time, it's narrated in the history that there were two neighbors next to each other, and the rich person and the poor person. And the rich man's son walked to the poor man's, the neighbor's house. And the poor man was, he was sitting with his wife, with his kids and eating food. And the rich man's son walks in, and obviously he's a child. The child also wants them to share some food with him, give him some food. But they refused. They didn't give him any food. The poor man did not give any food to the rich man's son. And the son started to cry and he walked out and went back to his home. And obviously the father came out and he came to the next door neighbor and said, why is this that, you know, you are giving pain to us, you are a neighbor, but you are still giving pain to us? He said, well, the food that we were consuming was halal for us, but it was haram for you. That's why I didn't give to your son. He said, well, we also know some bit of the Sharia. What kind of ruling are you talking about that a food is halal for you, but it's haram for my son? He said, yes, exactly, that's what the ruling is.
Because what we were eating was a murdar, the dead body of a dead animal. Because we don't have food to consume, we are so poor. And that's allowed for us to eat as a hukma sanavi. We don't have money like you. And it's haram for us to provide the dead animal's meat to your son because you are rich. And this rich man said, well, I will not move out of this house until I divide my wealth half between me and you. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We have a lot of responsibilities towards each other. Nowadays, when we are living in a world which has transformed into a small global community, our responsibility has also transformed. So we have a global responsibility instead of a local responsibility only. So we do care about what's going on in far and wide corners of the world where our mu'min brothers and sisters are residing, because our Prophet ﷺ gave us the concept of one ummah. We are part of one ummah. We do care about what happens to a mu'min in Bangladesh because he's part of my body. Kal jasadil wahid, like the Prophet says. Just like one body. I have to care if I am a Muslim. So we have to care about what's going on to the rest of the mu'mineen. So we find that this is the Islamic value system and the moral system that we enjoy. So if we have this moral system in place, our society will get rid of all of these situations. This person says that I did the ghibat in the night, and when I slept, I saw some of the angels of Allah coming. They have a tray with them, and they had pork in the tray. And they started to offer me to eat pork. I said, well, I am a Muslim. I don't eat pork. And the angel said, oh, you are a Muslim, you don't eat pork. Okay, you were eating moments ago, you were eating something which is worse than pork, the meat of your dead brother's body. Because you did ghibat, that's worse than pork, eating your own brother. Now you're saying you don't eat pork, and the angel picked up some meat and stuffed into my mouth. And I woke up from my dream, and the smell of the pork remained for 30 days. So this is why we are here, this is why we come to the majlis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam to learn the Nuraniyat of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So when we come to the masjid, we walk away with the noor of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Just like I was mentioning last night in my speech, the angels who were carrying the arsh of Allah, when they looked down to the planet earth, all they could see is noor. So the mu'min is the one who has noor, and the kafir doesn't have no noor. So they pray for the mu'mineen only.
Bawazi bulan salawat.
So we find that the benefit of learning the moral teachings from Quran and Ahlul Bayt, every aspect of our behavior becomes munawwar and nurani. Our eyes start to behave the way the Prophet has commanded. In the time of the Holy Prophet, this old blind man, Abdullah ibn Maktoum, he walks into the house of the Prophet. And when this blind man comes in, Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes inside. Ibn Maktoum. Zahra walks inside. The Prophet said to her, he cannot see you. Lima ihtajabti wa huwa la yaraki. Why are you doing the hijab when he cannot see you? And Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies back, in lam yakun yarani fa inni araho. If he cannot see me, I can see him. And he can also smell the smell, the raiha, the smell. Isn't that right? So this is the status when Prophet heard that statement. He said, thank be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made all our men and women knowledgeable. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nare Hadri.
So this is the status of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And despite the fact that we find that this is one of the reasons of shaqawatul qalb is eating the haram. One of the major reasons why you find these ashqiya are gathered in Karbala and they don't heed to no warnings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is because their stomachs were full of haram. One after the other, without doing the tawbah. Finally, a person lands into the domain of shaqawatul qalb, completely becoming stone-hearted to reaching a point of no return. So much stone-hearted. Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam, he says, you see, we find that after the shahadat of Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam, the Muhaddis Qumi says that his children, Muhammad and Ibrahim, were in the prison in Kufa, the prison of a Shia person. For one full year. Can you imagine? A Shia person is in charge of the prison, imprisoning the sons of the Muslims, children of Ahlul Bayt. A very old man with a white beard, old man, Shia. And Muhaddis Qumi says that these two young kids, Muhammad and Ibrahim, they said to themselves that, let us talk to this prison guy. And, you know, so they came once and they talked to this old man. Do you know who Muhammad is? And he said, well, I'm a Muslim. He's my messenger. And then they said to him, do you know who Ali ibn Abi Talib is? He said, yes, he's my first imam. I believe in him. He's my imam. And they said, do you know about Imam Hassan? He said, yes, he's my second imam. Imam Hussain, he's my mawla, he was killed thirsty. He said, do you know Muslim ibn Aqeel? He said, yes, I know him. He was the mumassil, he was the na'ib of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And then they introduced these two children, Muhammad and Ibrahim, introduced themselves to that old man that we are the children of Muslim ibn Aqeel. He said, why didn't you tell me earlier? And obviously, he said, when the night time arrives, I will open the door of the jail for you so that you can walk out. He doesn't want to keep the children of Ahlul Bayt in the prison. We find that, you know, there's so much sawab mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet to help the Ahlul Bayt and the lineage and the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet. So this old man gave some food and some water to these two kids, and he opens the door and the kids start walk away. And but they can go as far only. Obviously, they are small kids. They don't know the paths and directions of Kufa. And after getting tired, they sat next to a river. And then they came next to the river and climbed over the tree to relax on the tree, because they were afraid if they stayed down, maybe somebody can see them. And this lady, this maid of the lady who was the wife of that killer, she comes and she finds the shadow of two kids in the water, and she looks up in the tree, and she finds there's two children are sitting over on the branch of the tree, and she tries to introduce, and they said, if we introduce ourselves, is our life be protected? And she replies back, yes, I'm not going to harm you. Then they introduce that we are the kids of Muslim ibn Aqeel. And this lady takes the children of Muslim ibn Aqeel to her house. She said, I have my lady who is a Shia, and I want to take you to her house. She takes the children to her house, and her lady was a Shia. She put the kids comfortably in a room and provided food to them. And then the children went to sleep. And the narration says, when the children were sleeping, they saw in their dream the similar dream and was seen by both of the children. Prophet came in the dream, and Prophet was talking to Hazrat Muslim ibn Aqeel. You came, but you left your children behind. And he said,
that soon my children will be coming and they will be my guests in the paradise tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow night they will be coming. We find when this Ash'as guy, he shows up, this Mal'oon Shaqi, he shows up into the house and he discovers that there is somebody in the house and he goes there and he founds that these are the children of Husayn ibn Aqil. This is exactly what he was searching for, to get the reward from Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. And he ties up the hands of both the kids and obviously he has to take them tomorrow morning to kill them. We find when the children were taken next to the river to be killed, and the children of Ahlul Bayt, they asked time to pray two rakats of prayers, just like their great father Hazrat Musab Naqim did his two rakats of prayers. So their children did their final two rakats of prayers, and then he comes to kill the elder son first, and the younger child says, the younger brother says, don't kill my elder brother, kill me first, because I cannot see my elder brother getting killed in front of me, his head away from his body, away in front of me. Then he goes to the younger brother to kill him, and the elder brother says the similar statement, that kill me first, and he says, when we came out of Medina, my mother handed over my young brother to me. Because the mother had handed over the younger brother to me, so don't kill my younger brother in front of me. So this Shahi comes and he kills the older brother first, and the history says the younger one comes and puts his hand in the blood of the older brother and rubs it over his face. Allah rahmatullah, Allah rahmatullah. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite on Surah Al-Fatiha for the marhumin of the host of this majlis and all the marhumin of their family.
Ya Hussein.